Evet.
Lexiga. Lexiga is building on everything we spoke about in the past in terms of the name of the Lazar and the Hasidic Gaza and the Tzir Gaza. But that purpose is basically just bring out one point from everything we spoke about for the rest of the weeks is that within the view of Rabbi Elazar, Eidei Chasima are really not all that important. Whether Eidei Chasima can sometimes serve as Eid Mesira, whether they can prove there's Eid Mesira, that all may be true, as we've talked about in the past, but push up the shove, you're right again. There really is no reason, absolute reason, to put on Eidei Chasima according to our laws. At least at the level of their eyes, you don't really need Eidei Chasima. If so, we have a general rule of life. What you don't have to do, Lamala, it's not going to help you, it's not going to hurt you. That's not always true. Sometimes you don't have to do something, but if you do it, you better do it right. And Eidei Chasima, according to the laws, are one of those things in life that falls into that category. And the Gemara tells us in the first bit of the Kavos, the Gemara is actually trying to figure out who is the author of our Mishnah. All the way back to Fai Nechta, Fai Nechta, the Gemara still couldn't figure out who is author of our Mishnah, who is the Tana who says you need both Ksiva and Chasima. So especially according to the view of Rabbah, the whole purpose from the Fai Nechta, Fai Nechta was to ensure that the get is written inside the Shema. Who is that Tana who says you need writing and signing the Shema? According to Rabbi Meir, you don't need writing the Shema. According to Rabbi Elazar, you don't need signing the Shema. So who is that mysterious phantom Tana of the Mishnah? So the Gemara says the first thing about the Kamos, that chapter off in the middle of the first line, we'll lead into it. But the Gemara said that when did Rabbi Elazar say that don't worry about it, you don't need Chasimas? That's where the line begins, the Lake Edom cloud. If you have no Edom Chasima, the get is acceptable. But if you choose to have Eidei Chasima, nobody forced you to have Eidei Chasima. Maybe we recommended to have Eidei Chasima as a proof for later, but nobody forced you to have Eidei Chasima. If you chose to put two Eidei signatures on the bottom of that page, then you have to be worried about the following. The Amr Rabbi Abba, Molder Rabbi Elazar b'mezuyach b'tocho shu'u posel. Rabbi Elazar agrees that if there are no signatures, then it's okay. But if there are signatures there, and the signatures are wrong, something literally mizuyef, i.e. forged, there's something wrong with those signatures, there's something which is deficient with those signatures, so then the get is actually not going to be accepted. What was the original statement of Rabbi Elazar mizuyef b'tocho? So the original context of Rabbi Elazar mizuyef b'tocho was, if I have a get, it's written, kedasufadin, it's perfectly kosher, person could have given it to his wife the way it is now, no, he wants that to get signed. So what did he do? He went and he got two goyim to sign the get. He went and he got two brothers, two Rishon, two bank robbers to go sign the get. What did this interesting thing for? If he would have left the get the way it was, it would have been kosher. He went ahead and got Edom, and he went ahead to boot and got Pasal Edom. So if he would have asked that, he would have said, so what? Dal mehoch the Pasal Edom. Make me that I'm there. We didn't need them in the first place. So why is the president going to cause us problems? That's what I would have said. I defer to Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba said, no. Molder Rabbi Allah zib and mizuyach b'tocho shu'u posel. That was the original context of mizuyach b'tocho. That's the Gemara later on in Gittin Daf Yud. So here the Gemara in Gittin Daf Dal borrows that concept and plugs it into a get that was signed Shalom Shema as well. Just as Rabbi Elazar said, you don't need Edom, but if you have Edom, everyone just could mute. That if, just as Rabbi Elazar said, that you don't need Edom, but if you put Edom there, so you better make sure that kosher Edom, so too did Rabbi Elazar say, you don't need to sign it yet, but if you sign it yet, you better sign it with Shema. So the one makes that parallel, makes that equation between Hosel Edom, which is Mizuyach B'tocho, to non-Shema Edom, which is also a type of Zirk Tavla. So it's this equation that gets the Sugya beginning. It's this equation that causes the following problem. Says Tosfos in the third of the Rabakomos, Tamilari is a wonder to the ring. My Indian Shalom Shema, the Mazir Pitocho, Shechasimabo Krov Mopsula. Says the ring, I don't understand. Mazir Pitocho, when there are relatives signed on a shah, signed on the get, or there are bank robbers signed on the get, there are Goyim signed on the get. So I understand that. It's not so crazy that should pose a problem. What's the concern? The Hossam begin Mifsa. It makes sense that should pose a problem. Because maybe we may end up relying on those Eidei Chasiba. The Eidim are there. A piece of paper is left to Beis Din. Who's going to remember in 10 years from now that the witnesses at the bottom were not really kosher witnesses? But you see, it's like, again, that witness is signed at the bottom. It says, Ruben ben Yaakov, Shimon ben David. Someone's going to remember that these guys were first cousins. Someone's going to remember these guys were bank robbers. These guys were Rosh Hashanah. Who's going to remember that in the future? So if we let a get by with Eidei Chasiba, who are apostle, that's going to lead to a trouble down the line. And it could be that in 10 years from now, when we want to bring this get into Beis Din and to prove that the get occurred, the woman is divorced, so we're going to end up bringing in this get and reading off of this piece of paper, relying on these witnesses, and that's not a good thing to do. Now, Tosa says, under the breath, by the way, that's terrible. The woman's divorced. Nobody's really questioning that the get's kosher, because after all, we pass an Eidim Mesirah. So what's the big deal? We're going to rely on these Eidim. We're relying on these Eidim to ascertain something that we know to be true anyway. It doesn't say Alpha Bin Kitkinah. You as a Beis Din in 10 years without Paskin and Shiloh, this woman is with Terence, or this star is a kosher star, and you're basing your psach on two Rishoyim, two Krovim, two Goyim, that is a violation of the very integrity, the very process of Eidus, and you can't do that. So it says, I understand what Mizrahi Pitach is all about, but the Eidus of Psul of the Eidus of
Sun. So it's not saying it's an Indian get, it's an Indian term Eidus. Once you have the term Eidus, it has to be Karshe. Mm-hmm. So by labeling anybody, giving a label to anybody, that
like,
has to be kosher.
Right. It's not just stopped because of the kosher. There can be ramifications of that. Because down the line, someone's going to goof. Someone's going to make a mistake. Someone's going to treat these Eidim as kosher Eidim. So that's the problem.
Before, you can't call something Eidus. Eidus, by definition, can't be...
100% definition, but therefore what? What's going to go wrong? So we'll call it Eidus. That has to be some halachic concern that's going to occur down the line. So Tosfos is searching what is that halachic concern. Tosfos is not telling the concern. The concern is in 10 years from now, some unknowing Beis Din is going to paskin shiloh based on these Eidim or Psulim. So it's not enough just to say theoretically we can't call Eidim. It's just a check of a chazon. It has to be more than that. It has to be a consequence.
I look at it side Eidim. Somewhere down the line, these two people who signed this get will call Eidim. Now they're Eidim Mesira also somewhere else.
Okay. So you're not saying Tosfos. You're saying other Rishonim. How does Mechan the other Rishonim? Other Rishonim is saying that if we let these guys be the Eidim Chasima, forget about being the Eidim Mesira somewhere else. Maybe they'll be the Eidim Mesira right here.
Because to me, it's a shame Eidus can't be Mekalko because that's going to be Kalko Eidus.
Okay. So
that's what I thought Tosfos was leading towards.
Yes, so Tosfos themselves don't say that. Tosfos says that. But Tosfos says, wait, I don't understand. The Dinim by Eidim Psulim, that I get. That I can fathom. It makes sense. We have some kind of a concern down the line. But says Tosfos, what is going to go wrong? Let's pick it up from Aval Hocha. It's the end of the fourth line. Aval Hocha, She'edim K'sherim, El Shechosmu Shalom L'Shema. They signed the get Shalom L'Shma. Mata kol yesh b'kach. What terrible stumbling block is going to happen at a later point in history? In Misbach Aleihem. So Gaval, from 10 years from now, we're going to rely on the Eidei Chasima, who were 100% kosher. We're going to rely on the Eidei who didn't sign the get L'Shma. So signing the get L'Shma is not necessary. This is Rabbi Elazar speaking.
You don't have to have a Yetzer Lishma. You don't have to have a Yetzer Lishma altogether. So comes Rabbi Yab and says, Mode the Rabbi Lazar be Mizrif Mitach. That the get was not signed altogether, that's fine. If the get was signed, it has to be signed Lishma. For what reason must the get there? What is going to go wrong? So comes, tells us and says, the stomach of the reason is as follows. Three lines from the bottom to the end of the line, the Yeshlama, you come up with Ika Lamezar, Chasima Otuksiva. Tosis, Mamish, out of left field, came up with a different concern. Tosis says, you know what terrible thing may occur if you have Adam sign and get Shalom Lishma? We're going to get out of the Lishma mindset. Oh, Adam can sign Shalom Lishma. Why can't we write the get Shalom Lishma? Small technical difference. One case, the get is required to be written Lishma with the right. So the woman's in Ashishish Gemura, if the get wasn't written Lishma. But all started because you were Mizalza, you were Mekel, and having the Adam sign Shalom Lishma. So the says tells us, this is, there are really a brisk of art. There are two different distinct halachas of Mizrif Mitocho. The Gemara lumps together the two cases and says, just as you can't have Pasla Adam sign on a get, so too you can't have a Chasibah Shalom Lishma. It says, tells us, they're both true, but they're not the same thing. They're both very, very superficially connected to one another. This is apostle of Chasima, and this is apostle of Chasima. But the concern behind each of these apostle of Chasimas is radically different. In one case, we're afraid it's going to throw off Eidos at some future date. In another place, we're afraid it's going to throw off the Chasimas Haget at this very get itself. So they're both applications of the principle of Mizrif Mitocho, albeit two very, very different principles. If this is true,
it seems hard to understand because it's not required. I mean, if it was required to sign at the end, at the bottom, then I can understand that you might make that mistake. But if it's not required anyway, it's not even on your mind to do that. So why would that?
Because not everybody comes to Kolvoker and knows all the intricacies. It could be, yeah, people kind of supervising get to the knots. Remember back in the base of a base, we weren't even so sure they all knew the little schmoll together. So people make mistakes. So this definitely falls within the range of a possible mistake. And it's a gzeira. You know, it's like the same way we can't say, what do you mean I'm going to move the, just because I'm going to move the pencil, I'm going to write the pencil. Everybody knows you're not allowed to write the Shabbos. So that's the answer is that Chazal have to be Mishai. What psychologically, when we say this may occur? That's all part of the Mitzvah Torah. The Mishmartus, Mishmartus, the Dhamma writes this introduction to Mishmartus Torah. The Chazal had a tradition, basically, Mishmartus, Mishmartus, that we have to make gzeiras, associate with Torah. We have to protect the Dinei Torah. Because Baruch Hu gave us 613 mitzvahs, but it wasn't a finished deal. It was a finished job. I mean, it was finished in the sense that those are the dim der aisa, and that it was built into the system that we have to protect it a little bit. We have to safeguard this treasure. So min haTorah you can't write in Shabbos, min Rabban you can't move a pencil on Shabbos. Min haTorah you don't really need any chasim lishma. But if you don't do lishma, so then that's going to potentially make a mistake in the chasim lishma. This is one of those gezeiros that Chazal made to protect the pre-existing dinyata. The problem with this Tosfos is that you have to now go back and check every case of Mizrif Mitocho and Chazal and see, does this Gezeira really fit in? Is this Gezeira really applicable or not? So the original source of Mizrif Mitocho was that Gemara that I mentioned before. If you have a get, it gets written totally, completely acceptable, and nobody told you to sign this get. You decided, because the wheel recommended it, you wanted to have Adam sign it, you went in and you got Goyim to sign. Where do you go from there? So that's a sugya in the second of the Maramakamos. The Mishnah. The Mishnah starts out with the second of the Maramakamos. Kol ashtaris olim be'akosh of the kichavim. Afa bishach osmeim of the kichavim ksherim. Chutz begitin asher shehu yavodim. If you have documents that have been prepared by non-Jewish entities, are called like courts. It's an official procedure. There's an official body that's taking care of it. Not a bunch of guys, you know, just started writing up documents on the street corner. It went through court. It went through an official protocol called Arkoshlo of the Kichon. So Mishnah says, if I have documents that say I buy money, I sold houses, etc., even though they're supervised by Goyim and they're signed by Goyim, the Ksherim, those documents can be acceptable even in a Beis Din. Based on what? Lamaisa min haTorah, they're not really Goshim min haTorah. There's no Aegis, the Goyim are also the Aegis. So the Gemara has all the discussion about this. The simple reason, this is based on Dina de Machus Adina. This is one of the applications of whenever you have a a legal entity that's set up in an authorized government, not just on the wild, wild west, crazy people just making up rules. But when you have a king, you have a government, and everything is structured, and everything is done reliably, and with authority. So then Chazal tell us what's called Dina de Machus Dina. In the realm of Dina de Machus, not the realm of Heter. Let's say it becomes a Dina de Machus Dina, everyone's got to work on Shabbos. government. But in the realm of Dina Mamres, if it's the Dina de Machus Dina, you can buy and sell profit in this way. Dina de Machus Dina, you have to pay your taxes. Dina de Machus Dina is supposed to follow the rules of the government. So then that is the halacha, Dina de Machus Dina. Where that came from, what's the source of that halacha? That's a loaded, loaded question. It's not 100% clear where that rule came from. Like, who made up that cloud called Dina de Machus Dina? There are some who suggest that Dina de Machus Dina is based on simple Dina Mamonis, namely, the king, in the old days, the king, we the people, whoever owns the land. So the king owns this land. He conquered the land. It's his land. And he, out of the goodness of his heart, and because he wants your taxes, is letting you live in his land. So it's understood you're making a deal with the king that if you're living in the land, so part of the deal is he's going to protect you. You're going to pay taxes. You're going to follow his rules. You're going to do what you have to do as a good citizen. And he's going to run the government. So that's a Dina de Mamonis kind of agreement. That doesn't mean that every single person under the sun has signed a contract with the king. No. But you have a principle of Dina de Mamonis when there's a self-evident contract, when there's a self-evident understanding that's binding Dina de Mamonis. I'm a cop up on myself. That's what the Rashbam writes in the Masechet Bava Basra, that it's built into the system. If you're living here, so you accept to follow the rules. If you don't want to follow the rules, so don't live. So don't live. Go move to the desert island on your own. You don't want to pay taxes. So I won't say which state you go to. You don't want to pay taxes. So no, somewhere else, so don't collect taxes. So comes the halakha and says, one of the rules of the king is that there's a court system. The court system writes up documents. So it's understood that everybody agrees that they're going to follow what it says in these documents. So the Mishnah says, so shtaros and dinim mamonos are acceptable based on non-Jewish contracts. Chutz v'gitin asher roi v'adam, the exception meaning a get or a shichra. Why? A get is hold on, woken. A get is just a hetka. A get is not a question of did King Louis III say that the woman is divorced. I don't care what King Louis III said. I care what the Torah Kedosh says. So you're going to go to a goyish court to write up a get. That's not going to fly. It has to be the chosim of the priestess for us. It's got to be the feed dinei Torah. So Rabbi Shimon says a startling statement. Even a get that's signed in a non-Jewish court is acceptable. The only time that it's no good is if it was just out of a bunch of three little guys on the street decide to write up their own divorce. Look at the heist, the son, divorce deals for $100, you can get a divorce deal. You know, I can't tell you how up to par some of those are. But if a person goes to a real regular court system, it's a real official legal divorce, so Rabbi Shimon says even the goyim could do it. Says, what? He said, how are you talking about that? How in the world can Rabbi Shimon begin to dream that a get supervised and signed by goyim is kosher? It doesn't make any sense. So yes, the Gemara, it's second of the Marmakomos, it's three lines to the bottom, towards the end of the line. Balabine Christus Lindu says, what do you mean? The guys were signing it, they're not in the parish of Gittin. They're not kosher to aid them, they're not kosher to supervise Gittin. Nothing, the whole thing doesn't make any sense. You go to a non-Jewish court to get it, yet that's crazy. Someone says, no, we have to understand Rabbi Shimon. Then Shimon was following the end of the line, the Mishnah. Last line, the Mishnah said that Goyim could sign Mominous. Goyim can sign monetary documents. So Rabbi Shimon says that Yorad Amr Bezeri, Yorad Rabbi Shimon, Lashitasal Shirab Alazar, Yomar Eidib Asira Karsi, that Rabbi Shimon was following the view of Rabbi Alazar, who says Eidib Asira Karsi. You don't even need Eidib Chasima, according to Rabbi Alazar. So that's what Rabbi Shimon meant to say. Rabbi Shimon said, if you have a get, that's written Kedasu Chedin by a Jewish court with days of the Fi Din Torah, and it's signed by Goyim. It's a follow up to the last line. Chosmei Lekom. That's okay, says Rabbi Shimon. You can have a kosher get signed by Goyim. There's nothing wrong with that. Because Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon holds Rabbi Lazar, Eidah Chasim Akasim. Yes, the Rabbi we're talking about. The Hamar Rabbi Abba, Moder Rabbi Lazar, Mizuf Betoch Shapasol. What happened to Mizuf Betocho? We just learned that when did Rabbi Elazar say that a get doesn't require chasimus? That means it doesn't require chasimus. But if you chose to put those chasimus on it, you better do it right. And therefore, putting goyim to sign on the bottom of the document, that's a disaster. Of course, that's a problem, even according to Rabbi Elazar. So back to square one, what did Rabbi Shimon mean? It's the Gemara, my skin of Shemesh Mufhokin. Now, Rabbi Shimon was talking about a very, very unique case where sometimes we can overlook the concern of Bezir Fitofo. When can we overlook Bezir Fitofo? Rabbi Shimon says Shemesh Mufhokin, very, very clearly non-Jewish names. So comes Rabbi Shimon and says the following. If I have a dog, I have a star, I have a get, it's written Kedasuch and Din, it's kosher the way it is, nobody has to sign on it, but for some reason we decided that doesn't look good enough, we're going to put some signatures on it. So we're going to ask the two Goyim to sign it. What are the Goyim's names? So if the Goyim's names are, I don't know, Michael and David, that's a problem, because nobody knows it. It says Michael, the son of Jack, and it says David, the son of, Jewish name, Steve, okay? So we... And they didn't go either way. They're going more Steve, they're Jews with Steve. They're going more Michael, they're going Jews with Michael. So go either way. So you're going to put Goyish signatures on the bottom of this piece of paper, knowing full well the opening yourself up for confusion down the line. So 20 years from now, someone's going to whip out the shtar, just get it, and say, oh, what a wonderful shtar signed by Michael, the son of Steve. Well, it must have been El Chayin, must have been a good upstanding Jew. Why would he sign it? Little did they know, it was a Goy Gomor. And that's going to be a problem with you. What if it's Shemus Mufok? What if we put names in the bottom? Nobody in their right mind is ever going to think that this was a Jewish name. So somebody help me with one of these. I need some good geschmack, a Jewish equation. Jesus, the son of Christian. And the odd that someone's going to think, oh, and El Chayyid, a Jew with a long white beard, very, very unlikely. And therefore, everyone's going to realize, why did we put these names on? I don't know why we're sugar to put the Jesus, the son of Christian, on the Bach. But no one in the right mind is going to make the foolish mistake. Oh, these are the guys. These are our Pishnai Ben Yachum Dover. So the whole concern of the Zubi Tocho is not really, it's not going to happen. The whole thing is as long as
for 20 years, not only is, so you say that the aid is for sure okay, you know, not good. So we're not relying that they did right. But they sort of like delegitimized the Beis Din because there's a suffix who the Beis Din was.
There's no suffix. The Beis Din was totally kosher, and for some silly reason, we had to give a kibbutz. You know, it's like at a wedding. So we're running around, who do we give kibbutz to? So everyone said, well, we have people who we want to give kibbutz to, but they're not royal kachri edim. They're post edim. They're not Jewish. So we want to give them something. So, you know, we do. It's like conditions trick up the sleeve. Sign the marriage license. Oh, marriage, sign the marriage license. Witness thereof. It could be Jews, it could be going, it could be men, it could be women. Sign the marriage. Tell you a secret. You know who signed my marriage license? Rebson Schechter. He signed my marriage. We had to give her a key. So here, Rebson Schechter, one of the witnesses on my marriage license. So we didn't have to give her a key. Just we thought it was she was the one who was closest to the Rebbe Rebbe Rebbe. She was standing there as closest when we were filling out the sign. She signed it. So... I was at a wedding. I was at a wedding once where someone was very close to his mechanic. They're close friends with his mechanic. Was not Jewish. He invited the mechanic, and he wanted to give him something. I remember the guy, the mechanic with the greasy hands. He signed off the son of Christian. Signed off the marriage. So to me, yes, that's awesome. They signed. They signed again. Big deal, the man anyway. If Michael and David and Steve and those guys signed, that could lead to trouble confusion down the line. But if Jesus and Christians are a big deal, nothing's going to go wrong anyway. So that's what Mishimon said. And the Chacham didn't like that. Why? Just like I explained, the Chacham were afraid it's too tricky. It's Gozer Shemesh Mufhokim or to Shemesh Enim Mufhokim. Who's going to judge at the last minute what's a real Gosha? I think it's a very Gosha name. Jesus is very good. What are other kinds of names? I don't know. There are a lot of names out there that could go either way. They sound pretty not Jewish, but be shy. You'd be surprised, you know. Sometimes you have a from person who has a funny name. It sounds like a very, very Goyish name. So the Chacham said, this is too tricky. We start every time we have a get, we're going to have to make a study of the 10 most non-Jewish sounding names. It's too risky. And therefore, don't have Goyim sign again. But the Ikaron, fundamentally, Rabbi Shimon is right. Fundamentally, Rabbi Shimon is right that if you can get Adam to sign a get in such a manner that they call him but clearly recognize his Goyish names, so be it. Then theoretically, there's really no concern.
Why can't you say that the locus between them is Rabbi Shimon holds the future of their environment? Chacham say issues of shmup.
Oh, wait. Hold on. You're referring to Chumash Nashi's question. Oh, wait a second. The Gemara presents it in Masechet Gittin as the Chachamim were afraid Sheamus Mufakim about the Sheamus Mufakim. The Gemara says that what the Chacham's concern was that everyone agrees that Sheamus is theoretically right, but the Chacham felt was too risky. The Gemara says that explicitly. So comes the Chumash Hadesha and poses that fictitious question. Wait a second, hold the phone. Says the Chumash Hadesha. Chumash Hadesha was written a couple hundred years after Tosfos. Chumash Hadesha was a rav in Germany, 1400s, if I'm not mistaken. It was the very, very end of Rishonim, early Acharonim. It's on that borderline, right before the Shulchan Aruch, what exactly kufa he belonged to. Chumash Hadesha wrote a fascinating sefer. It was like I called the Friday night shilas that we have in our shul. It was responses to real shilas, one small technical issue. He made up the shilas because he needed some good shtickle terrors to write, and he thought of these very, very creative shilas. So it's as if somebody found the Balabatan didn't think it's such creative shilas. He wrote it as if, I got a shilas this week. Let me tell you what the answer would be. So the Jew said, Dashab, in the middle of his whole discussion, poses a challenge according to Tosfos. I don't understand this whole Gemara, the whole Shalom with Arab Shubin Rabbanu, according to Tosfos. If you tell me that the whole reason for Mizuf B'Tocho is simply we're going to rely on the Adam down the line, that's what the Gemara says Mizuf B'Tocho is all about, then I understand this Gemara reads like a charm. That Rabbi Shimon argues, if it's Sheamus with Hukim, no one's going to make that mistake. And the Chum agree, Rabbi Shimon's fundamentally right, except for the fact that we're afraid to where to draw the line. We're going to delineate what's called the Sheamus with Hukim, it's not working. But the Ikaron, Rabbi Shimon's right, if it's clearly distinctive non-Jewish names, there's nothing to worry about. But Tosfos just threw something else into the show and says, it's a mission. Tosfos just said, there's a new gezeira out there. We never heard of it until we got to that dialogue. A brand new gezeira. What? Anything that you do on chasimas may end up being replicated on chasimas as well. You never know what's going to happen. People are going to forget. If it's good for chasima, then it's probably good for chasima as well. Therefore, Tosfos said, if a shalom l'shma is good for chasimas, then who knows? You can do it for chasima as well. Says it was a nation. If Jesus and Christian can sign a get, what's going to stop us from having them write the get? And if they write the get, that's a disaster, says the Frelich. It's a terrible, terrible thing. A goy writing a get, that's the worst thing in the world, maybe. That's the worst thing in the world, says the Tumas Adeshan. And therefore, Tais is right that there's this other gezeira lurking in the behind the scenes. Before Tais has not ever heard this other gezeira. But according to Tais, it said that the only way to explain what's wrong with the Shalom Shmo Mazir Petocho, Tais coined a new gezeira called Gezeira Chesima to Chesima. What you can't write, you better not sign. Tachlis. Can Jesus and Christian write again? No. If they can't write again, then they can't sign again either. So what's Rabbi Shimon talking about? How does Shimon Hukim solve that problem? That's Tumas Hadeshan's question. Tumas Hadeshan says, let's go back to the drawing board. What is so bad with a non-Jew writing again? By like style. A non-Jew writing again? Really? Isn't that terrible? Not so simple. This is where Abba Kishum is going to help us now, because this is going to take us forward to the second part of the second get in, the sugi that we just learned not that long ago, about, well, can a non-Jew write again? We think not. Initial reaction is not so simple. So says to Mr. Deshan, let's see if we can learn the Bikis part of the sugi again and understand what is right or wrong with a non-Jew writing again, and see, does that raise a challenge? Does that cause a concern of a Mizur Fitocho think of a problem? Just how bad is it? Is it non-Jew writing again? So it says to his nation, take one to the fourth of the Ramah Kamas. A Mishnah in the second breath of Gittin. Hakol, Sheirim, Lichtav, Saget. Everybody can write again. You name it, from Cheshit, from Katan can write again. Someone who is a Lav Bardas, they don't know what they're doing, they can still write again. So skip down to the Gemara's question. What? A Cheshit, from Katan can write again. A Lav Bardas, they don't know what's going on. They're Lav Bardas. How in the world can they create Lishma? The Torah Kedoshim says, V'chos of law. The Torah Shabbat explains, law means l'shma. Again, has to written the Shema Isha. If it's not, the whole get is bottle of a book of Torah. How in the world are we going to let the 8-year-old kid, who can't create the Shema even if he wants to, how in the world is he going to write again l'shma? Says the Gemara, no problem. I'm Ravuna. There is an adult, there is a grown-up who's standing over him and supervising, and knocking him over the head and saying, l'shma, l'shma. Remember the example we gave about the tzitzis? We spoke about the tzitzis in Chespid. I'll give an example where we had to have tzitzis that were made l'shma. The last minute, we had to produce 500 pairs of tzitzis for the army. and we were asked to just camouflage tzitzis in the middle of the war in Gaza, and we had to make tzitzis really, really fast, and we asked a couple of katanim who wanted to help out, so no problem. Even though a katan can't make tzitzis, can't make lishma, but if you stand over him warm enough and you bang him over the head and say, do it lishma. I personally stood over Yaki Leibowitz, and I said, do it lishma, do it lishma, do it lishma, and ties it in, do it lishma. That's this gemara, don't love it again.
So the gemara, katan would be for the guest also.
Right, that's what the gemara says, that was what the Mishnah is talking about. So the Gemara is going to now invoke that principle and say, how does that going to play out in terms of a non-Jew? Can a boy write it yet with the Yisrael over the Gabbah? So the answer to that question is going to significantly affect this whole Tumas Nesh and the self-touches. So we're going to hope this up tomorrow. So we're going to put on hold of the for a second tomorrow and try just to understand the intricacies of a boy writing it yet, and then eventually circle back to the Zim.
In the tradition of staying within Jews, specifically Christian names.
Right.